This is Radio 314 on the Red Ice Radio Network.
Welcome back to Radio 314. This is Lana. Carolyn Dean joins us today. She's not only a medical doctor, but also a naturopath, herbalist, acupuncturist, nutritionist, lecturer, consultant, and author or co-author of over 30 books. Carolyn has been in the forefront of health issues for over 30 years. Welcome, Carolyn. Thanks for being here today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate being able to talk about things that I love over and over again.
Well, before we dive into magnesium, tell us what the journey was like for you in medical school, because I've heard so many times that they do not teach about nutrition, which is mind-blowing to me.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, and I went in fully cognizant of natural medicine. This is back in the early, and then I got into med school in the mid-70s. I was reading Prevention magazine and really caught the bug and was trying to tell everybody about, you know, eating healthy. Where I lived, we didn't even have a health food store at the time. I mean, it was way long ago. And what was happening? Oh, yeah, I was in honors biology, genetics, and in one of my biology classes, a couple of guys came up to me one day and said, "Hey, did you get accepted?" And you know, I thought, well, I feel pretty accepted. What's up? And they said they'd just gotten into medical school, and I just about hit the roof because these were just two young punks, you know, nice kids, but kids. And I was already a few years older. I went back to school after traveling, for several years. And I just thought, man, if they are going to be doctors, that's ridiculous. I know more already than they'll ever know. I was pretty arrogant. But I just thought I could do better. I went to the university medical office. It was Dalhousie in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And who did I meet but my high school guidance teacher, who was now the assistant to the dean of medicine. And she had told me in my aptitude tests I could be an executive secretary or a nurse. So I went after her and I said, man, why didn't you tell me I could be a doctor? And she said, well, put in your application. I'm on the acceptance committee. You know, we'll see what happens. So I applied, got right into the next semester of medical school, and I have not looked back. But during it was crazy. There were no ethics courses. I started an ethics course. There was no nutrition. I would bring up certain things like, there's been a recent study that shows that breast milk is safer and better than bottle formula. And the pediatrician teaching our class on bottle formula called me Bubbles and said I was probably mistaken. And 2 weeks later, after he'd read the study, he apologized to the wrong class. I mean, it was just ridiculous. I was doing acupuncture as an elective, and that sort of kept my sanity because this anesthesiologist was experimenting with acupuncture, and he was curing people of the incurable diseases I would hear about in the morning lectures.
Well, you've been on the forefront of health issues and specifically speaking about the importance of magnesium. So when did you become aware of the power of magnesium?
Well, I knew about it in my naturopathic training, which I did after medical school. But, you know, it wasn't until an editor at Random House asked me to write a book on magnesium. This was in the late 90s. I'd approached them about doing a book with my Chinese medicine teacher. And they said, oh, we just signed a similar book, but hey, would you write about magnesium? And I thought, how can I write a whole, 300-page book on one mineral? But the more I looked into it, the more I realized I was severely magnesium deficient. I'd get occasional heart palpitations and big Charlie horse leg cramps and irritation, irritability, excitability. So I realized I was magnesium deficient, and that really helped my research for the book. So I'm really only into this about, 15 years myself.
Well, how important is it? What function does it serve in the body?
Oh, it's impossible to enumerate them all, because magnesium is necessary for 700 to 800 different enzyme reactions in the body, which means in order for you to go from one step to the next in a biochemical reaction in the body, you need magnesium. If you don't have magnesium, everything slows down. And that's from creating energy, the ATP, adenosine triphosphate. So if you don't have energy, you're low on magnesium. You're not depressed. You're not anxious. You're low in magnesium. And then it helps make proper protein in the body. There are, 3,571 magnesium receptor sites on body proteins. They're just discovering that now. It's really going to make magnesium stand out as they're discovering this. It helps make RNA and DNA. It helps balance cholesterol. So it's a natural statin. It helps balance the blood sugar. People who don't have magnesium, one of the signs is for diabetes is this low magnesium level. It does everything, and it helps make the nerves function, activates nerves, and it helps make muscles function. It relaxes muscles in the sense that calcium tightens muscles, magnesium relaxes them, so they both work together. So our over-calcification in the last few decades of women taking more and more calcium supplements has really gotten them into a lot of trouble. And we've seen several studies of late showing that women who just simply take calcium supplements are at a much higher risk of heart disease, gallstones, kidney stones, breast tissue calcifications. You get a breast tissue calcification on a mammogram these days, you're diagnosed with breast cancer until proven otherwise. And they're doing all kinds of biopsies and extra mammograms on people with breast calcifications and calling it DCIS and then saying they're curing it because they take out the calcification and all it is supplementation from calcium and from fortifying foods and drinks like orange juice with calcium. We're way over-calcified.
If we're deficient in magnesium, what conditions can be associated with the deficiency? What would we feel?
From head to foot, it's headaches, even migraines. It can be esophageal spasms, heartburn. It can be any sort of muscle cramp or nerve twitching, like the little twitching you get in your eye, your eyelid sometimes. People will wonder, what the heck is that? It's just magnesium deficiency. Constipation. It can be joint pain, any sort of muscle ache or pain, any sort of numbness or paralysis, insomnia, fatigue. It's head to foot. And it's scary because if a person with a lot of magnesium deficiency symptoms goes to a doctor, they're habitually misdiagnosed because doctors, as we started with, do not learn anything about nutrition in medical school. So they're not going to say, oh, all these are magnesium deficiency symptoms. You know, for the acid reflux and heartburn, they're going to give a drug. For adrenal fatigue, they're going to give an antidepressant. For angina, they're going to give you 6 medications. For anxiety, more drugs. Atrial fibrillation, I won an award last year for my contribution to the clinical management of atrial fibrillation. It was from a big group in the UK, the Heart Rhythm Society. And it was called the Arrhythmia Alliance Outstanding Medical Contribution to Cardiac Rhythm Management Services Award 2012. Mm-hmm. one of my the readers of my blog say, well, just call it the Making Miserable People Happy Award. Because you can take magnesium for atrial fibrillation and it will be gone.
Wow.
It also for blood pressure, like if there's too much calcium, the smooth muscles in the blood vessels will tighten up and cause high blood pressure. Calcium will relieve that. Also, cholesterol, a natural statin, is magnesium. I mentioned that. Depression, diabetes, fibromyalgia, heart attack, inflammation of any kind, kidney stones, nerve twitches, I mentioned, all the different conditions in pregnancy, like eclampsia. Eclampsia is when you retain fluid, you get high blood pressure, seizures, and you're in bad shape. I learned about it when I was in medical school because a woman who was starting to seizure, you know, I wondered what are they going to do for her and the baby, and they put up an IV magnesium drip.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
And years later when I would ask, well, why don't we do that for anyone who has fluid retention, high blood pressure, seizures, and headaches? And they say, oh, well, we have pretty, you know, we have drugs for those things. So why? Yeah.
And then you take these medications and then they deplete more minerals and magnesium. So it's slowly killing you off, basically, right?
Absolutely. And that, yeah, you've triggered another whole rant of mine. The different medications that drain magnesium, all of them will overutilize magnesium because magnesium is needed in the liver to help detoxify drugs. But what's even more scary is that there's a whole, not even class of drugs. You know, most of the classes of drugs now are using fluoride to make them stronger.
Wow.
And you wonder, what? They're using a poison in drugs? I mean, shouldn't that be banned? But what they decided was that the fluoride slows down the breakdown of these drugs. It's probably exactly because it stops magnesium from working, because fluoride binds irreversibly to magnesium and just simply makes it unavailable. And that magnesium fluoride, it's a very brittle substance that deposits in bones and in cartilage. So you've got a drug like Cipro that has a fluoride molecule in it, and you get a side effect of tendon rupture.
Oh.
And you've got, you know, so many drugs. You've got Prozac that has 3 fluoride molecules in every molecule. Paxil has 1. Lipitor, the statin drug, has 1. Flecainide, I mean, this is really rich. It's an antiarrhythmic drug, and it has 6 fluoride molecules. So, I mean, what on earth are we doing when we're giving a drug to stop arrhythmia that will kill the very mineral that will prevent arrhythmia? Another one that has 6 fluoride molecules is an inhaled anesthetic that's widely used, desflurane. And I've had many, many clients in my telephone consultations that tell me that they've never been well since they have had surgery. And I think what happens there is their magnesium gets totally killed and they just can't recover. Even Prevacid has 3 fluoride molecules, and that's an antacid. And the side effects, I mean, if you look at them, it causes muscle spasm, arthralgia, cramps, fibromyalgia, back pain. I mean, they're listed. Diflucan, which is an antifungal drug that's widely used, even in children these days, when doctors finally realized that kids with autism and ADHD had yeast overgrowth, they started giving this drug, which kills their magnesium.
Wow, that's just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone is bathing in fluoride, because you mentioned an important aspect is that magnesium basically undoes the fluoride attachment in the body, what dosage should one take to undo this damage?
Well, it's that's a good question about dosage. It's hard to say. I need way more magnesium than someone who weighs 2 and 3 times what I weigh. So everybody's different. I used to tell people, well, go by your symptoms. You know, I take enough magnesium so that I don't get my heart palpitations or leg cramps. And I'm a unique case because I cannot take most oral powders and pills of magnesium. So I had to go around and actually invent a type of magnesium that has no laxative effect so I could get a therapeutic effect before I got the laxative effect. And what I've been advising the past couple of years is for people to get a magnesium RBC test. RBC stands for red blood cell. And actually in the U.S., you can get one. You can order it online at requestatest.com. It's a $49 test. And you can get your levels taken. But then comes the crux of the matter. You want optimum levels because when a lab does a range of levels for the average population, it's got nothing to do with optimum. So the magnesium RBC test ranges 4.2 to 6.8 milligrams per deciliter, but you want to be 6.0 to 6.5. So instead of a doctor saying, oh, you're fine at 4.2. No, that's way low. That's as sick as the sickest people in the population. You want to be up there at 6.0 to 6.5. And then with that, you can follow your levels. So someone whose magnesium is all bound up, you know, their levels are going to be very low. And then they keep taking magnesium until their levels go to optimum.
What are your thoughts on the recommended daily dosages listed on the bottles of magnesium? Because it seems like most vitamins and minerals, it's a very low dosage amount.
Yes. I don't know. With magnesium, it's like they're terrified of people getting diarrhea. So they set the dosage, I think, based on that. But see, what it is about the laxative effect with magnesium, it's actually the fail-safe effect, which means if you take too much, then it'll leave your body. You're never really going to get an overdose because your fail-safe kicks in. But we want people to get around that fail-safe by taking small amounts many times throughout the day, using Epsom salt baths a lot, or using spray-on magnesium, like a magnesium oil, or people can check my website for the type of magnesium that I recommend. So there are many ways to get around the fail-safe, and when you are saturated, any magnesium is going to cause you that laxative effect. And actually, it's quite fascinating, that fail-safe. We think it's evolutionary, because humans grew up around oceans, and ocean water has 3 times the magnesium as it does calcium. So there's body mechanisms to grab and hold calcium. That mechanism is actually the hormone vitamin D. Vitamin D is not a vitamin, it's a hormone, and its job is to grab calcium. And that's why we're becoming over-calcified. And with the magnesium, we have the fail-safe of the laxative effect.
Now, if we wanted to take these magnesium salt baths, should we take it a few times a week? Would that do good, or what do you recommend?
Well, before I found a magnesium that would work for me, I had to take one every day, or spray myself every day. So it's it's a water-soluble mineral in the sense that it's going to flush out when your body, when you take it all at once, then your body's going to be saturated, and the rest of it you'll urinate out or flush out through your bowel movement. So every day it's a good idea to do it. And we do that with kids. You know, kids don't like to take pills or powders or anything. So we tell mothers and fathers to give them an Epsom salt bath at night, and it helps their mood, their sleep, even their bowel movements just by bathing in Epsom salt.
Oh. I feel a couple times I've done that and I felt like I overdid it. I got out and I felt a little bit queasy. Does that mean we should add less salt or what is that? Is that just a detoxing effect?
It could be the detoxing effect. I have a nice blog that goes into when magnesium makes me worse. So what happens is when you get a big hit of magnesium, it can start stirring things up, either detoxing or revving things up. Some people say that they just feel sped up when they start taking magnesium and take too much to begin with. So it's just like anything else. You want to go about it slowly. You know, a lot of people think, oh, it's just a mineral. It's safe. It's fine. And it is. But we don't know how toxic or how depleted you are. So we just tell people to go slowly.
Well, I know this is true because I've done this, but tell us how magnesium helps our bodies detox from heavy metals, because a lot of us have a lot of heavy metals in our system right now.
Right. Well, there are many ways. There's a liver detoxification. There's also the stimulation of glutathione production. And there's also when you get the right size of magnesium, when it finally gets into the cell, inside the cell, it will kick out the heavy metals, and it will bind some heavy metals actually and take them out of the body. So it's acting on many, many levels. In chelation therapy, I tell people, well, just don't bother with the chelating drug. Just give people IV magnesium or an oral form of magnesium that has no laxative effect.
Yeah, there are several forms of magnesium, from citrate, malic acid, chloride, sulfate, etc. Can you tell us what forms are good for what?
Well, the number one, the magnesium oxide form, that's the least well absorbed into the blood or into the cells. It's only apparently 4% absorbed into the blood, so 96% of it becomes laxative. But you know, 60% of the population is constipated, so you know they might appreciate some of that. But see, on top of that, I would add some other forms, like the non-laxative form that I use called REMAG. It goes right into the cells and has no laxative effect. So I tell people to take both of them. The magnesium citrate form, it comes in powder. You can get it in the health food store. You mix it in water, either warm or hot or cold water. And you can put that in your drinking water and just sip it through the day. The pills, there's the glycinates that are said to be non-laxative. I did not find them non-laxative. There's a magnesium threonate that had some scientific studies saying it was the only form that got into the brain, and that's just not true. Any type of magnesium, some of it will find its way into the brain and help people with various functions of memory. They call it brain plasticity, being able to remember and learn new tricks. So all forms of magnesium have some good in them, but I think people, by gauging their symptoms and using the magnesium RBC test, will learn how much magnesium they need for really saturating their body, because I think that's what we have to do. 100 years ago, we were getting 500 milligrams of magnesium in a diet. Now we're lucky to get 200. So I think we really have to work hard to get our magnesium. You ask me, what dosage would I recommend? The RDA is 350 to 400. I'm saying twice that amount. And as for the calcium, the RDA is about 1,500. I say half that amount. So I tell people, you know, equal amounts of calcium and magnesium, but you can usually get all the calcium you need in a decent diet. And if you're not eating dairy, then make a bone broth. Use your nuts and seeds and your deep green leafy vegetables, your fish with bones. And if you eat dairy, I mean, you'll see that a cup of yogurt has about 300 milligrams of calcium right there.
Yeah, I know it's a delicate balance, and you've spoken about this a lot, between vitamin D, calcium, and magnesium, and how that works. And I've heard a lot of people say you need high doses of vitamin D, since we get blasted by the sun, that we can take it in supplement form. So what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, man, I'm always going against the grain. I don't know what it is about me, but what happened with the vitamin D situation is I would have people emailing me or patients consulting me saying when they started high-dose vitamin D, their magnesium deficiency symptoms came back. I've had people with six-week migraines. I've had parents tell me about their young kids having seizures when they went on high-dose D. And now this is not everybody. So what's happening is vitamin D, as I mentioned earlier, it's a hormone. It helps calcium be absorbed from the diet, and it helps direct it toward the bones. But if you have too much vitamin D, it pulls on too much calcium. And in the process, in order to change vitamin D into its active form, it requires a lot of magnesium. So I had somebody actually on my radio show the other day saying that, yeah, when she goes to the beach, she gets kind of muscle spasmy, like she doesn't have enough magnesium. And it's because her body is, the sun is forming the vitamin D, and then she pulls on her magnesium stores to create the active form. There's a new research article that's just out in biomedicalcentral.com. How can I tell people where to find this? Here's the title, Magnesium, Vitamin D Status, and Mortality. Results from the U.S. National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. Their conclusion was, our preliminary findings indicate it is possible that magnesium intake alone, or its interaction with vitamin D intake may contribute to vitamin D status. So they are calling out this whole business about just saying it's all about vitamin D and marrying it with magnesium as being as important or more important. So we will see some shifting, I think, as people read this study. They haven't read it yet, so you know they're still thinking, you know, they're thinking it's like replacement therapy. If a vitamin is low, give a lot of it. But if you're looking at vitamin D as a hormone, when a hormone has completed its function, so if the vitamin D in a person says, oh, there's enough calcium and not enough magnesium, then we better pull back and the levels will look low. And then all of a sudden you give a whole bunch of vitamin D and just make the whole internal calcium, magnesium imbalance worse. It's just the way it is in our society. You know, it's the same with low thyroid. You know, when we talk about hypothyroidism, you know, the big fight between allopathic and alternative medicine doctors is, well, we want to give a synthetic thyroid, and the alternative doctors say, well, we want to give a natural thyroid, like armor thyroid or desiccated thyroid. And I yell at them both and say, look, what we need is the building blocks for the thyroid, which are six different minerals: iodine, selenium, molybdenum, zinc, magnesium, and there's a little bit of copper in there, and maybe some, did I say molybdenum?
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
It's a balance of the minerals as our structural building blocks that we need for our organs. When you think of adrenal glands, you need a lot of magnesium. You need some B vitamins and vitamin C, and you need sodium. So what have we done in the past couple of decades? Tell everybody that salt is the killer and we have to stop it. Well, that's table salt. What I tell people is, in every pint of drinking water, put a quarter teaspoon of sea salt to get your sodium and to get all the other 72 minerals that's found in seawater.
What about sodium bicarbonate? Is that a similar thing?
No.
Okay.
Sodium bicarb is an alkaline substance that's used to shift your pH.
Now, what do you think about some people, they'll make a calcium carbonated blended with magnesium powder in it to make a pH balancing drink? What do you think about that?
Well, I know the whole pH thing is kind of enticing in a way because it's something you can measure. But if anyone's done it, I mean, if you urinate 8 times a day, you'll get 8 different pH readings. And you won't know if it's what you just ate or if it's what you ate 2 hours before. I think it's very frustrating, and I just don't go there. I just tell people to eat a decent meal and eat, you know, eat their vegetables and take, you know, a few judicious supplements. I do not over-supplement people. What I found recently at a health conference, actually, I had people come up to me who are on this 140 ounces of green drink a day, and they think that's going to solve everything. And they had frank magnesium deficiency symptoms, heart palpitations and leg cramps. I put them on my Remag and Relight, and within a couple of hours, their symptoms were gone. Mm. They were mineral deficient. Why? Because even if your food is organic, which theirs was, it doesn't mean that the farmer is using mineral replacement and that the plants have the minerals that you think they have.
Wow, that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah. I think we should bring up yeast or candida as well, because there's a lot of that going around. So can magnesium help with that?
Yes, yes. I like that you brought that up. That's my other favorite topic. What happens with yeast, it's pretty rampant because we use antibiotics, you know, because we're under such massive stress. The antibiotics kill off the good and bad bacteria, leaving room for the yeast to grow. The stress, cortisols feed the yeast. A high carbohydrate diet feeds yeast. The vegetarian diet will feed yeast. The raw diet will feed yeast. The dampness is a factor there. So we have a lot of yeast. We also have a lot of inflammation. Drugs don't treat inflammation. They just give you more inflammation. The best anti-inflammatory is magnesium. Specifically about yeast, a couple of the 178 different yeast toxins are alcohol and acetaldehydes. Acetaldehyde is broken down when you have enough magnesium on board. So that's how magnesium and yeast interact. But I basically tell people to avoid sugar, wheat, and gluten foods until they can get their yeast under control. Also, I recommend a probiotic and garlic and natural antifungals. It's not just about diet, but unfortunately, a lot of doctors just think it's about taking some sort of pill, but the diet is important. And you know, when I'm on nutrition shows, I did a show yesterday and started to have a big fight with an RD, registered dietitian, when I said, you know, avoid sugar, wheat, and dairy. Oh, you can't exclude those food groups. And I certainly can if they're making you sick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wheat's a big one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But eat your whole grains every day, people.
Right. You know. Whereas they've hybridized it out of all relationship to, you know, what used to be wheat. The hybridization has caused 10 times the gluten factor, and it's the same with dairy, the way it's processed, pasteurized, homogenized, and treated with the animals are treated with antibiotics. It's not food anymore. Yeah. So that's partly and mostly what people are reacting to.
Are you in the camp that's in favor of raw milk and raw cheese?
Not necessarily. I'm an O blood group. I follow the blood type diet somewhat. And for me, I find dairy hard to digest anyway. I'll just have a bit of feta cheese here and there. But certainly raw milk and raw cheese are far superior to processed dairy.
Now, for those of us, such as myself, that are on a low-carb diet or a paleo diet, is there a different interplay with magnesium on a low-carb diet?
Yes, when you're on more protein, high protein diet, you absolutely need more magnesium. So a lot of people will find, you know, perhaps the constipation factor with a high protein diet can be a magnesium deficiency. But, you know, I can say that, but I can also go over to the sugar world and say that it takes 28 molecules of magnesium to metabolize one molecule of sucrose, table sugar. And it takes 56 molecules of magnesium to metabolize one molecule of fructose. And people should really look into the whole fructose situation, because since we've gotten into high fructose corn syrup sweeteners, we've had a real increase in triglyceride problems, liver problems, because the body really isn't set up to metabolize fructose like it is other carbohydrates. And it's a bit too much to go into right now, but just Google fructose. There are a number of good YouTube videos showing the dangers of too much fructose. I remember Dr. Mercola once saying that his triglyceride levels shot up to impossible levels when he went on a fructarian diet for a short time.
Yeah, I've heard of people's teeth rotting on that diet as well. Another area is there's a lot of estrogen mimicking chemicals everywhere. Most people are overloaded with estrogen, even males nowadays. So can magnesium help to balance hormones, or what do you recommend?
It can. I did write about that in my book, Magnesium Miracle, where there is an effect on the hormones in their metabolism, an effect of magnesium. And I didn't pay it too much attention until I started getting a lot of feedback from women who said, man, I was having all these menopause symptoms and I started taking magnesium and they really improved. So I was very happily surprised at that. So it really does help balance. But also what is very important in and around menopause is balancing the thyroid and the adrenals. And for those, I personally work with my product called Relite with those six minerals for the thyroid balance and minerals for the adrenals as well. When you look at the hormone system, it's like a tripod with thyroid, adrenals, and the sex hormones. And when the sex hormones kind of start to be a little overworked or they start to get sluggish, they'll put a strain on the thyroid and the adrenals. And if those hormones are also weakening, then everything kind of falls apart. And then we get into this, you know, hormone replacement business, usually with synthetic hormones.
Well, the FDA never actually approves things that work. I have never seen a vitamin, herb, or mineral that has been evaluated or tested in trials by the FDA. Have you?
No, that's not their job. Their job is to get paid by drug companies, and that's a fact, to not even to test their drugs. They don't even test them. They just look at the studies that the drug company gives them. And I just went through all this, and made a third edition for my book, Death by Modern Medicine. You'll like that book. And I just updated on how the drug companies are legally allowed to withhold any papers that they want that are negative, that don't show benefits of their drug, and just give the good results to the FDA to evaluate. And then it's only in what they call post-surveillance testing, where the drug is out in the market, that all of a sudden we say, oh, you mean Prozac can cause people to have homicidal and suicidal tendencies? Oh, that's too bad. Or that Celebrex, we knew it caused heart problems, but we didn't tell you that because we wanted the drug to go on the market. So all these incredible side effects from drugs, and they all have side effects, and it just takes time and the millions of people taking the drugs for the statistics to come to the fore. You see, when they do drug testing, most of the time now, they don't even test against a placebo, because what they're finding is placebos work 60% of the time. Placebos are working more and more and more these days, and the drug companies are just, it's crazy. They don't know what's going on. So they test a drug against another drug. So they test one bad, you know, thing against another bad thing to see which is the least bad, and then they put that on the market. A drug only has to have about 20% effectiveness to get on the market these days.
Jeez. Oh, yep. Wow. That's outrageous.
And it costs, as I understand it, $500 million now to put a drug on the market. So you better believe they're going to cover up the negative stuff and just put out what they want to put out to the FDA. And the FDA is paid, their salaries are paid for by monies that come from the drug companies. So you're not going to bite the hand that feeds you.
Yep. And then we taxpayers actually pay to have the FDA around. That's just great.
There you go. Exactly.
So what do you see for the future of natural healthcare? And will we continue to have access to clean organic supplements even in possible hard times ahead?
Well, I learned about this in Codex meetings I went to in Bonn, Germany, and Rome, Italy. I went to Codex Alimentarius, and it was terrible. The Codex is trying through the World Health Organization, and then they tacked on the World Trade Organization to allow the trade across countries of safe foods and dietary supplements. What they ended up doing is trying to get as much toxicity as possible allowed in the foods, and the lowest quality and the most synthetic supplements. So it's low dose supplements. And the reason being, and this was begun in Germany, I'm sure the director of the supplements table belonged to the drug companies, because they wanted to make sure that the vitamins were not strong enough to overcome the effects of drugs, which means something like magnesium, which can be used instead of a drug for so many symptoms, they'll try to ban it because it's they'll say it's interfering with the drugs. And I've seen that more and more in the past couple of years. Such anti-vitamin and mineral propaganda, it's incredible. But our only hope is that we're allowed to use low-potency natural supplements. Once you go higher than the RDA, I made sure that the supplements that I'm working with are very low-potency, because apparently they will miss the cutoff. And as we speak, you know, countries like Canada and Australia and New Zealand have really cut back their supplement industry to conform to the Codex standards.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about these RNA drops you're working on, because that's really fascinating.
Right. Yes, it's incredible. I act like a scientist most of the times. And then over the past few years, I started working with, my husband and I started working with a friend of ours who started seeing ghosts and walking into other worlds. And we began talking to him when he was in that state about a water purifier that we'd gotten the recipe for and had known about for 40 years. It was called the D-Cell. So in the process of that, in making this D-cell, which is from fermented barley sprouts and not much else, we discovered a byproduct, which became the RNA drops, which people are writing the most incredible testimonials of. And you know, we can say it's from non-physical, maybe from another dimension, another planet. And it's really bizarre, as I said, for me to speak this way. But if if I wasn't seeing it with my own eyes, you know, I just wouldn't believe it. People who are talking about their heart at 10% function going to normal function after a year of being on the RNA drops. People just take one or two doses and they start feeling more energy, feel a blissful state, because it works on the physical and the non-physical level. So, I mean, all I can do is tell people to go to the RNA Drops website and check out the testimonials. And, you know, what we say to people, since it kind of comes from this non-physical, it's like your intuition or your knowing when you hear about something like this, where, you know, we know there's more in this universe. It's not just 3D. There's much more, and we're just being beaten down into almost a 2D world.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not about science. Science can't even measure this. I put up a couple of patents on these substances, and the patent office is just going crazy. They say, you know, you got to give us more information. You know, we don't understand this. Or, you know, get your lawyers to speak about it in a way that we'll understand, because they're just not grasping it. And when we have it tested, it's like, wow, there's really nothing here. And when we give it to people, to animals, to plants, to babies, they have the most incredible results. So it's like, you know, the miracle that we've been waiting for. And the bizarreness of it is, Ion, who we talk to, says that it's working through ribonucleic acid, through chromosome 14, which is the switch point chromosome. It can be a ring or a cross. And then through chromosome 14 onto the DNA, it makes perfect cells. And then it's these perfect cells that uncover our junk DNA, which is... The scientists say, oh, 98% of our DNA is junk.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, for sure. And it's uncovering 144,000 double strands of DNA instead of our one double strand. So at that point, the sky's the limit. I mean, we've had people using these drops who've died, you know, who've been in accidents and died, and their relatives give them the drops. Or, you know, one gentleman just dying of alcoholic liver cirrhosis and the hemorrhagic veins in his throat, and he's now functioning normally. So we've initiated the Lazarus Project with these drops and are having incredible results.
Now, is the FDA trailing you?
Not yet.
What? No, you mentioned ION. What is ION?
ION is non-physical speaking to us from what we call the guf. The guf in the Jewish religion is our heaven, and we're being spoken to by all of heaven with words that are just so much fun. You would love it. It's things like, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? And, you know, people who bang, you know, who, with their belief systems, they want to be right all the time, and they're miserable people. Or relax and allow, or just incredible, you know, really basic philosophy that lets us know that we are the god of our own universe. We create our universe. For some people, that's hard to take, because then they wouldn't have anybody to blame but themselves.
Yeah, there's also this interesting mind-body-spirit connection that we have yet to really understand. And a lot of times I wonder, when people are really deficient in something or toxic, if there isn't more to it than just beyond food and minerals, if you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when we, even in medicine, we consider that 80% of physical symptoms are due to stress. Well, the stress of it is, what ION talks about is the labyrinth of the mind, where our mind, with the previous conditioning and layering, gets in the way of our new experience. So what's happening with the RNA drops is it gets you out of your mind, it takes away that labyrinth of the mind worry, and then you allow your perfect cells to grow every day. And each new day with new perfect cells, you do not put the belief of the labyrinth of your mind on your body that you still have that disease or you still are aging. You know, we have people who say, gosh, you know, I've been on these drops a few months and I woke up the other day and it didn't have any of my arthritic pain that I have from being an athlete. And I just didn't notice. And people will say that over and over again. They can't even remember how long they've been better, but they just kind of put it out of their mind. They take the drops, they put it out of their mind, and then months later they say, oh my goodness, this and that and the next thing is better. So it's quite fascinating, as you say, to be working on body, mind, and spirit all together instead of, you know, chopping them up like we do in science.
Oh, yeah. Another one I've heard about is gabitrol. Have you heard about that? There's a lot of amino acids in it, and I've heard that that kind of helps get you into 5D, and I've been trying it lately, and I feel fantastic when I'm on that.
Gabitrol. No, mm-hmm. I don't know that yet.
Yeah, it actually speaks to the brain and just relaxes you and puts you in another state. It's a fantastic one.
Yeah, you know, if you get the right nutrition, I go about it through the minerals mostly, but yes, the companion product to the RNA drops is Realign, and that has methionine and taurine, and the methionine is a precursor to glutathione, so it's a great heavy metal detoxifier. So we say we clear out the trash with the Realign and allow the new perfect cells to grow. So, you know, we're saying that we're working at the cellular level to make perfect cells and to get back our 144,000 double DNA strands. So I don't know of any other product that will do that. I've never heard of it, and most, you know, everybody agrees. So, yeah, people can go to rnadrops.com. We have all kinds of radio shows where we give information, but go to our knowledge base and listen to the testimonials and see what you think. We have a free trial bottle. You can pick that up on my website, drcarolindean.com. And for shipping and handling, you can try it for a month, and only you will be able to judge whether it's going to be helpful for you.
Great, Carolyn. I could pick your brain for hours, but we can if we purchase your books. So everyone go to Carolyn's website and check it out, because you have over 30 books that you've co-authored as well, correct?
I do, and it's so funny, actually, Lana, because I have a 2-year online wellness program. Actually, if you sign up to my free newsletter, you'll get 4 free weeks of my online newsletter. But it goes for 2 years. It's 104 modules. And I'm having somebody Kindle them right now. So in a few months, I'll be able to say I have 134 books, because I'll have all those Kindles up there. Wow. So yes, go to the website and check it out. I have an organized wisdom health library you can click onto under resources. Then last I checked, there were like 600 different articles, videos, and audios that will educate people on health.
Well, Carolyn, thank you so much for your time today. It's all been valuable information.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been fun. And, you know, I know I sped talked through it, but there's just so much to say.
Thomas Edison said the doctor of the future will give no medicine, but will interest her or his patients in the care of the human frame, in a proper diet, and in the cause and prevention of disease. If your doctor isn't interested in this, then fire them immediately. Tune in next time for more on health as I speak with Melissa and Aaron of TruthStream Media on the modern-day quality of food, ingredients, and industrial practices. Take care.